The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
All right, welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram, and it is that time again as we are entering into Dr. Omar, the pharmacist and proprietor and founder of Welltopia Pharmacy in Mech 1, Thiensville. Dr. Omar, if I didn't know any better, the more I hear that little catchy tune, I think it was created just for you and I.
Yeah, I believe so. I laugh every time I see it.
Yeah. Hey, and so for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about Dr. Omar, the pharmacist.
So I am a pharmacist by, my inheritance. My family all are pharmacists, so I wanted to I wanted to do something different in pharmacy. I wanted to be really meaningful every time I speak to a patient. So I keep learning every day about what is new in pharmacy that can help the patients. So I made Welltopia Pharmacy, which is wellness and utopia, mix it together, become wellness in a perfect world, which never exists, but gives us a hope for every single day. And I try to find tools to support health and wellness and not just manage disease, but also help to create wellness. And I work with doctors, nurse practitioners, with drug manufacturers, with compounders in order to find best tools, make them accessible to our patients and clients.
So you are a compounder. What is a compounder?
Like, we do medications from scratch in the lab for the 1% of people that cannot take the medication off the shelf. Think of someone allergic to the blood pressure medication or someone allergic to the additives. How can they take their medicine and at the same time not be left behind? So we have to get the exact active ingredient, the pure form, and put it in a capsule or a tablet or an injection or a topical cream, so people can get what we call precision medicine, something made specifically for this one patient. And unfortunately, there is not many of us left. We're just 1% of pharmacies, this one pharmacy that compounds in every city, because that needs knowledge, that needs compliance, that needs a team that works precisely to make sure that you're getting a safe product.
You know, Dr. Omar, let's get right at it. You want to talk today about something called peptides.
Yep.
Let's begin by, what is a peptide?
So peptides now are everywhere. It's expected that this market is going to hit $56 billion in 2026. So people say peptides, I want to get peptides to help me heal. But most people don't actually know what they are. And in this episode, I just want to break down peptides from a pharmacist perspective, what they really do, and why some of them are very promising, and why others are raising serious FDA concerns. Because peptides aren't supplements, and they are not magic. They are biological instructors. They are made of the building block of amino acids. So there's 20 amino acids that make proteins, and rearranging those amino acids would give us these peptides, which they actually can cause real harm if they are done wrong. So the thing is, like, they are not medications, and there is difference between peptide and medication, because a medication kind of works as a sledge and a hammer. They either shut down a receptor, open a receptor. They are synthetic ingredients, all right? The medications are synthetic ingredients, but the peptides are actually made from protein building blocks, so they are different. And what really happens, and what we see with those peptides, is that they help heal the body faster. They just do things faster. And that's why there is some names of peptides that people are interested on and they ask about, like BPC-157, like MOT-C, some other peptide names that kind of people are coming up with. And what I see, Earl, as a trend is that some people are using those peptides before they help heal their bodies with much simpler ways to heal the body. So think of it as a tool that's used to heal the body, but at the same time, it's not yet regulated by the FDA, and that's why the FDA doesn't like them, because guess what? They are still in research and development. They are, most of the research have happened on animal studies, not on human studies. So the FDA is feeling that this is kind of a question mark. We need to make sure that they are safe and used properly before we allow them to be used. And because the drug companies cannot step into them easily until they do clinical studies, we see those challenges with the FDA from one end trying to stop them and from functional medicine practitioners trying to use them.
Dr. Omar, it just makes, it's nonsensical to me. We've got an FDA which is supposed to regulate things. How is it possible that they're already out and people are taking them? And yet they haven't been given the okay by the FDA. How is that possible?
Manufacturers are making the peptides, not putting them as drugs. So there's manufacturers in the United States or in China or in different ways, which raises the concern of safety of those products. So then the FDA started to look at them, and they put most of them on a do not compound list. You cannot use them to make them in a pharmacy. But at the same time, just because of accessibility in the United States market to different products, companies are able to get those peptides from different sources. They package them, label them, and they say, we did the safety kind of analysis. We made sure that they are the correct things. Now you can use them. FDA comes and say, no, you cannot use those injectable peptides. You can use some things that are oral or topical. So there is these kind of debates, because not every tool of medicine is regulated by the FDA. FDA is like a police. Everything that raises a concern, they stop it, and they kind of want to take their time in order to analyze it and tell you that it is safe. But at the same time, you have patients who are waiting on the line, and they didn't find the treatment with the mainstream medicine, and we want to use this, we want to use that. But I want to tell you, some of the peptides that people are using are called GLP-1 agonist, semaglutide, tirzepatide, does this ring a bell? Mounjaro,
oh yes,
Ozempic. These are peptides. These are long chain amino acids that have been developed in the lab for long years. People are using them to help them lose weight. They have done changes in the body composition that we have never seen before. They have given hope to people obese, losing weight in ways that we haven't seen before. And people who are using those medications, and they are eating proteins, and they are managing their stress, and they are taking care of themselves, they finally are having the perfect body that they have been hoping for and dreaming for. So they do things, changes in the body faster. And because of the research and development that is very fast, that is happening with animal modules, not on humans, we have seen several of those peptides, maybe 60 or 70 of them, that are tools that sometimes are available in certain places, sometimes are not. And people want to jump on the trend. People want to use them. And that is why there is kind of this challenge that we're having, is like, what can we offer the patients that they can use today that is safe, that has been studied, and what do we need to wait until we see more clearance from the FDA?
Well, you know, Dr. Omar, I was kind of looking over some of what they're doing with peptides. It somehow is this magic aging elixir that works with keeping the skin elastic, amongst other things, but it's this supposedly not reverses the aging process, but it certainly does something, and people are led to believe that it's going. And if there's anything that you can find that can slow down or change the aging process, people are going to go at it regardless of whether it's regulated or not. And that's kind of one of the things, if it's going to beautify you, hey, they're going to take the risk.
I like what you say. I want to tell you a story. For the last couple of weeks, I had one of my technicians, Alba. She came back from a long visit to Mexico, and she told me, Omar, what happened to your face? And I asked her, what's going on? She told me, you look younger. What have you been doing? And I didn't tell her for a day. And then the following day, she told me, Omar, you have to tell me now. What did you do? And I am, for the previous month and a half, I've been putting a certain peptide on my face called GHK copper, which
no,
is one of the most.
No, Dr. Omar, yeah, not you.
So it's one of the most legitimate peptide in that category, and it's allowed to be used because it's topical. So the science of this GHK copper is that it helps collagen stimulating peptide can signal the fibroblasts to produce more collagen. And as you age, collagen decreases in the face mainly, and that's what causes saggy skin and what causes wrinkles. So using it topically, where you have it in your skin, but adding it helps to stimulate the collagen, helps as an antioxidant, and signals the firm structure of the skin, the repair and reduction of inflammation. It's very safe. It's used, if you get it from the right companies, that is going to be an excellent tripeptide made from three amino acids. And the nice thing is, because of my field is always focused on the cleanest and purest sources, I have friends that own the companies that made those peptides. They sent it to me to try them, and it's just helping me, and I'm recommending it. And that is where we want to put difference between the hype and the science. If we want to try something that is safe to help us feel good, help our skin, well, I mean, that is great, because, you know, some things work and some things do not. But that is kind of a story of a really famous peptide now called GHK copper. The first time I heard about it 5 years ago, it was like rocket science to me. What is this? I've never heard about this in medicine. And then that kind of big shot pharmacist told us about it and told us we can use it and in compounding. And then the FDA came and said, you cannot use it in compounding, but companies, cosmetics companies and supplements companies are using it in ways, make it available. And here we go. You know, some of them are safe and allowed to use, and some of them are not. But the GHK copper, if you're looking for something to help with skin wrinkles, that's very safe to use, that will go way beyond vitamin C serum for the skin, here you get it as a bonus, GHK copper.
You know, Dr. Omar Vanity. Vanity, Dr. Omar. It doesn't seem to go together. But I will say this, Dr. Omar. So when you're watching these kind of commercials on television and they've got all these skin products that they're offering, are many of them, do they have that ingredient in them? Is that what they're selling?
So maybe it's in some of the products, but what I see in many of those companies is that they put a speck dust of the ingredient that actually works. Tell you, like, sell you something for $300, and they put like 20 different ingredients.
Right.
And then but how much is here in order to make this work? So they just put the name, and the FDA is not looking at the ingredients. And that's why we're working with very specific companies. The company that I work with now that make the peptide that I use, they actually do clinical studies with doctors they are using their product on patients and they're coming out with studies to show how their peptide is superior. That company is Oro Wellness, and it's a tripeptide that's just wonderful. And we try to test those products, Earl, and when we see something that works, that would be a bonus. I have two kinds of peptides in my pharmacy, one that is $60 and the other one is like $160. You see the difference, right?
Right.
$100 difference between this and that. And that's why my consultations are very precise to what the patient actually needs, because these functional medicine tools are expensive. And if we're going to recommend it to someone, we have to look at a timeline that this product will work and adjusting the plan. So functional medicine, patients pay more money in the upfront because we're trying to analyze the reason why their therapies have failed in the past. And then the communication with those different practitioners. And then we put a plan for 3 months and then we adjust it. So I tell my patients when they come for consultation, pharmacist consultation with me, is that we're going to take a year to figure out what has been broken for years before, because it takes a while to fix things. I want to give you a simple story that me and you have worked on last week. Your friend who you called me for,
yes,
that had a challenge of her. Can you give us an introduction about like why we had this phone call and I can continue?
Yeah, you know, she's about in her 60s and a really nice lady, and she's, you know, she's has a very stressful job. She works in Milwaukee Public Schools around a lot of high school students, and she's done this now for the better part of over 20 some odd years. And so I saw her, and she was really feeling not well, and I asked her what was going on. She told me her blood pressure was some outlandish number, Dr. Omar, and she was showing signs of something not being right. And so what did I do? I called my good friend, Dr. Omar, and this is on a Saturday, and he answered the phone, and he spoke to this friend and this woman who I saw last night, Dr. Omar, and her blood pressure has really come down. And so, but she, there are people who are going through this, don't know what to do. She called a doctor. She couldn't get a hold to her doctor. And, you know, I don't know where you go from there, Dr. Omar. If you don't have access to a guy like Dr. Omar, people are left in the lurch.
Well, actually, it was a very kind of sad story to me, because this is someone who is a professional. She works in a school and she does the most important job in the world, which is taking care of the younger generations. And I can imagine how she's always stressed through
the
day. Right? So, okay. So blood pressure goes up. She goes to the doctor. The doctor tells her what? Doesn't give her a medication. He checks her blood pressure. Blood pressure is high. He tells her, monitor your blood pressure until the next meeting, 6 weeks from today.
Yes.
She meets you, and then when she talked to me and I asked her, how is your blood pressure over the last week? She told me numbers like 160 over 100. These are numbers that we tell patients you can go to the ER because you need medications now. I told her, if you wait for another month and a half, I don't know how much damage that can happen to your body because of that. So that's a priority call. We have to make sure that we take action. I told her, listen to me, this is what we're going to do. From today until Monday, you're going to check your blood pressure. If you see it go beyond these numbers, go to the emergency room or go to the urgent care to lower it down. Or on Monday, make an appointment right away and tell the doctor, these are some of the medications I can take to help lower my blood pressure per recommendation of my pharmacist. I need help now, because to tell a patient to wait 6 weeks when she has numbers of blood pressure that high clinically, that doesn't make sense to me. And I felt like She has access to healthcare, but she was advised to wait long enough before she come back to the doctor. And I felt, okay, now the system need to come closer. We need to communicate in a better way. So what I did is I gave her recommendation to check her blood pressure, and I gave her recommendation to deliver a message to her practitioner to politely ask the practitioner to give her something to help her manage her blood pressure. And I explained to her that if you start taking blood pressure medication today and you stick with it for the rest of your life, that will protect your kidneys, that will protect your heart, that will protect your sanity. You're going to be healthy. You're not going to need to have a stroke a couple of weeks from today because a student spilled something on the ground because you were upset and your blood pressure shoot to the sky and you don't have this system that monitors the blood pressure in place. So we need this awareness, Earl. We need patients to know what to ask, what is important, and know your rights when you go see the doctor. And again, I'll say it and I'll say it every day of my life if I have to. If you go on a deserted island and you're going to take one medication with you,
yeah, your blood pressure exactly. Medicine. You know, Dr. Omar, here's a situation. There's so many people in the society now who don't have health care coverage or insurance, and so it's a much more difficult lift, unfortunately, sometimes to with them. But here's a woman with health insurance, right? She has access to those things, and yet the doctor was either too busy. I don't even think she talked to the doctor. She probably talked to someone else who, you know, probably got 100 different patients and they don't have time. And Dr. Omar, it's the reason why what you and I do is so critically important. I don't know how many times, you know, I tell people, or the fact that we're on these airwaves and it goes out. And so there are a lot of people who listen to this, Dr. Omar. We're going to ramp it up even more because there's nothing more important than your health. And I don't care how much money you have. If you become ill and if it means I can get my health back, I'll give all the money that I have to get my health back. But we don't seem to understand the importance of our health, Dr. Omar, until we kind of lose it, right?
I agree with you. The healthcare system is paying for coding. Coding. You get the code that a doctor or a practitioner treated patient today for high blood pressure, that's a check mark. They get paid right away. It's not thinking. It's not outcomes.
That's how that works. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's coding. They put codes in the system. And that's why many times a practitioner are so focused on putting enough data in the system. Many times it distract them from what the patient is needing. So we treated the patient today for high blood pressure. We give recommendations, but many times the patient is not being listened to. When I was listening to your friend who called me, all what I had in my head was this patient in front of students shouting at them and they're shouting back, and she gets into a situation that her blood pressure goes up to a way that makes her kind of get a stroke or something.
Yes.
When she didn't have the enough care. So just by design, the system is broken. And patients are not reading the long discharge summary that they get. They need really someone to listen to, a two-way communication, and tell me how this is going to happen in a 6 minutes visit, you know?
You know, Dr. Ma, when I saw her last night, she was smiling. And it was just 5 days prior that I saw her at one of the lowest ebbs I've seen her. She was crying out. Her eyes were saying, please help me, right? And I need somebody to help me. She called her doctor and didn't get, and that's where she's supposed to get the help, for heaven's sakes. If I wasn't so blessed and fortunate to know you, Dr. Omar, and you being the kind of person that you are, no telling what would happen to that poor woman?
I believe early that we are surrounded with people who care, and there is one in every circle that we can cling to and ask. And I made sure when I spoke to your friend is that I explained to her what message exactly she delivers to the practitioner, to the doctor, because I understood that this message is going to be clear, explaining what the situation is and also giving safe medications that will help her. But another thing also that I see many patients afraid from starting a new medication think that it's going to go away with a herbal product or a supplement or right. lifestyle changes. But no, blood pressure is not something that we can look at with raising eyebrow and it will go away. No, there is a system in the body that's regulating how your blood pressure goes up and down. There's a buffer system. When this system gets to be messed up or no more functioning, earlier introduction of medication is going to support the whole body and make you feel great. And most of these medications are cheap. And that's awareness, Earl. Now she knows. She's going to know if one of her friends goes through a similar situation, she's going to help this friend to kind of ask for her rights for better care.
You know, Dr. Omar, that blood pressure, and I know of some sad stories with people who chose to, I don't like the way it makes me feel, I'm going to take it every now and then. I know people who've done that and then suffered strokes. I mean, I'm not making this up. I know people who have cut off their high blood pressure medication and the outcome of that. And I know people who've said, well, it's too much. I cut the pill in half. And we just, for whatever reason, Dr. Omar, as a society, don't get it. We don't know the correlation between high blood pressure and your health. I know, right? I mean, I take high blood pressure medication. I've been taking it. I never miss ever. And a lot of it has to do with Dr. Omar. I've seen what happens to people who don't. And I'll tell you, it works. Well, you know, people say the side effects. Well, hey, Dr. Omar, it's better to be here and have some side effects than to not have it. I know just a real good friend who had a major stroke, knew he had high blood pressure, knew it,
exactly.
And
because people are not checking.
Yes. And this guy was a nurse.
Yeah.
And so he knew better, right? But yeah. just was having these tremendous headaches. Your body tells you, it warns you, right?
Well, this is great that you mentioned that. Many times, blood pressure goes up without knowing. And that's why checking blood pressure on a daily basis is a very important measure to protect yourself. So get an arm cuff. Check your blood pressure one time in the morning after you wake up, another time in the evening before you sleep. Make sure that the numbers are between 120 over 80. Because the challenge is like the high blood pressure is constantly damaging the inside of the blood vessels. The inner lining gets scratched, inflamed, and that make it easy for the cholesterol to stick, the plaque to form, the clots to develop. So it's intermingled with the lipid profile and the creation of the blood clots. So what we're looking for is awareness of people to check your blood pressure every single day. And my recommendation for people who wake up in the night at 2-3 a.m., walk in the room, go back to sleep, because when you do that, when you move from the bed and you just move and come back, that breaks a cycle of increasing blood pressure that goes up when you wake up. And when you move your body, you break this cycle. So you reset this clock of raised blood pressure. And that's why many times when people check their blood pressure in the morning, it is high. because of this kind of cycle. So it's like a pro tip to tell you how to make sure that you have healthy circulation. Because in your body, you have 6.5 courts, tennis courts, 6.5 tennis courts. All of these are blood vessels, arteries and arterioles and very small capillaries where we need the blood pressure to go between 120 over 80. So they are not damaging those small capillaries. Every day with your, every hour with your blood pressure higher than 120 over 80, damage is happening. And every practitioner knows that. They study it in medical school. We study it in pharmacy school. They study it in nursing school. But the problem, we forget ourselves. Many of us are strong, silent type. We take care of everyone else. We don't take care of ourselves. Like our friend who works in the school, like your friend who got a major stroke and he's a nurse. So we have to be aware that if we're not helping ourselves, no one will help us. And we will need help from everyone around us.
You know, Dr. Omar, you I've learned so much from you. I used to think, so 120 over 80. I used to think, okay, so I'm 135 over 90. Those numbers aren't so outlandish. They aren't so bad. So I don't think that's a problem because I'm saying 120 over 80, well, I'm 130 over 90. That's not bad. So I don't think that's bad. But I've learned from you that's not acceptable.
Yes, because the more than one digit's more pressure on the vessel walls, more microscopic damage. You see, they are very small capillaries that goes deep into every tissue. So these microscopic damages that happen, they happen very quickly. So, and there is fast wear on the heart and the brain and the kidneys and the liver, all of these are getting support from the body. So, and we talked before about nitric oxide and their importance to protect and open these blood vessels, but there is several components, but protection of the lower blood pressure, less than 120 over 80, is key for health. If you doctor tell you it's 135 over 90, it's acceptable. Well, acceptable is not going to get you going for the coming 5 years. You need it to be great. High standards will always keep you in a safer, healthier end of the scope.
Dr. Omar, I always hate to have to end our conversation and our dialogue. Before we do that, how can people get in touch with you?
People can always call us at 262-429-9429. They can always text us also in this number or go to wiltopiarx.com.
You know, Dr. Omar, I've had the pleasure of meeting some very prominent and conversations with very prominent people in this nation and even outside of this nation. I have had that opportunity, but none as important as you. And so, I'm dead serious about that, Dr. Omar. You are a life elixir to people who don't know. And so, man, I just love having been blessed to be able to bring you before audiences of people who just don't know, right? I mean, you really do bring life-changing and life-saving information to people. And to me, that's, you know, money can't buy that.
Thank you. Thank you, Earl. I truly appreciate being with you on the show and appreciate our relationship and our efforts to help people always be healthier.
We're going to keep that going. Dr. Omar, we got to let it go with that. Always great to talk to you. Until I see you again, kiss the babies.
Thank you, Earl.
All right.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, the proprietor of Welltopia Pharmacy. We'll see him the next time. For today, that's a wrap on what's going on with Earl Ingram. See you later.
See you later. Take care, Earl. Bye-bye.